1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Texas Governor Greg Abbott's ordered civil arrests of Democratic lawmakers who fled the state to block passage of congressional maps that favor Republicans. Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett spoke from Warrenville, Illinois.
The Democrats are not going to stand for this any longer. We know that we are standing for the people. And so long as we stand for the people, I absolutely believe the people are going to stand for us.
U.S. Justice Department launching a grand jury investigation into the alleged Russiagate conspiracy during the 2016 election cycle. CBS's Michael Wallace.
Democrats point out a bipartisan Senate investigation, two special counsels, and the CIA looked into the Russian interference and found nothing about any conspiracy.
Massive wildfires now burn more than 72,000 acres of Los Padres National Forest north of L.A. Forest spokesman Fleming Bertelson.
Combined with the winds and steep slopes, areas that haven't burned in a long time, is showing, you know, why we're having such challenges right now.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. The federal government has pulled funding for a local camp meant to help neurodivergent kids enjoy STEM subjects. Savannah Tolme Olson reports.
Michael Notaro is the director of the Center for Climatic Research at UW-Madison. He started the first STEM camp 4 years ago in Beloit and has added two more in Madison and Baraboo. They're geared toward middle and high school students and inspired by Notaro's own family.
And the goals of the camps are basically to support and foster neurodiversity, to encourage autistic and neurodiverse youth to consider pursuing science degrees and careers.
The camps were funded by grants from the National Science Foundation, but now they've been canceled. Notaro says because it's geared toward neurodivergent kids, the camp counts as a diversity, equity, and inclusion program. Those types of programs have been targets for the Trump administration.
It was disheartening. It was not surprised at all that it happened. It was, you know, had a pretty hard impact because it was right before the summer where we were getting ready to start up our three camps.
The Coakley Foundation stepped up to keep the camps running this summer. Notaro says thank goodness because families rely on this.
These camps help their kids develop advocacy, build social skills and friendships. In the last 4 years, we've had youth from middle school and high school age kids come from 35 different communities across Wisconsin and Illinois. It's across about a 300-mile radius. So, and it really demonstrates the fact that families are willing to drive very long distances for these camps.
The future is uncertain, and Notaro is searching for other ways to fund the camps. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay. You're listening to WXCO 98.9 FM Wausau. Real news and great conversation.
A setback for the Pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the Packers training camp, where defensive back Nate Hobbs, who's been lining up with the first team, is now out for at least 3 weeks after having knee surgery over the weekend. Matt LaFleur.
The thing that you admire most about him is he's passionate about the game and he loves to compete. That's one of the reasons why we went out and got him. He shows it, and he's that consistently on a daily basis.
The team has brought back defensive back Corey Ballantyne after he was let go last week by the Colts. Baseball, Brewers and the Braves play again tonight in Atlanta. The Crew winning 3-1 last night. They've now won 12 in a row with Quinn Priester on the mound.
With how much usage that Uribe and Mears and Koenig and the usage that they've gotten is just astronomical. But to now have Quinn give you a break and, you know, to be able to get 7 innings in a game is huge. It's a great thing. Really important.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are going to have a little more of that wildfire smoke today. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high right around 80 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop to 61 tomorrow. Partly cloudy. Could be an isolated shower or thundershower with a high of 81. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we'll discuss the Trump tariffs. They're off, they're on, they're up, they're down. But what does it mean to us in Wisconsin? We'll be joined by Wisconsin business owner Kyle LaFond on that and also PBS.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06 on this Tuesday morning, August 5th. Nice to have you here up north. Parker Olson is our producer down in Madison at Studio A2, meteorologist Brittany Merlot joining us as well on what it is. It's still a little hazy out there, but not nearly as smoky around here on Lake Wissota, Brittany, and I sense that is going to become a trend everywhere eventually. A welcome trend. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, I was looking at these trends thinking this has got to be the longest period consecutive that we have had this air quality alert in effect. Mm-hmm. And it is. It is.
I thought so, because when it was particularly bad in 2023, and it was, mm-hmm. but it was, it definitely felt like it had a shorter duration.
2-day waves. That's all it was. It was June 27th through 29th, and then it was July 14th through the 16th. Yeah. We've had this ongoing since July 29th, a week now.
Yeah, this is, it's sad, of course. It's tragic for the folks up north, compounded by certain people trying to politicize all of this. But needless to say, yes, the lingering impact, it's the whole difference of, you know, being around a heavy chain smoker for 2 days versus somebody who, you know, only smokes half a pack, but for 10 years. There's a big difference in exposure here, and it's not good for people. In fact, let me jump over to comments online from Rob in Tigerton. He says, good morning from Tigerton. Partly cloudy, 57. Yesterday I had mowing jobs in Wittenberg. The shifter on my lawnmower popped out, and I had to push it onto a trailer and take it to John Deere and Marion. Finally got it fixed, then back to Wittenberg. But he also writes here, I got bothered by that smoke yesterday. I felt dizzy and tired, and now he's got more mowing jobs in Tigerton today. And I can affirm, again, I don't have any respiratory issues or anything like that, but it really gets people feeling draggy after a while, or headachy, or, you know, your eyes burn, whatever the case is.
Yeah. I mean, you think about this is burning particles of whatever's in that forest, whatever it's burning, and it's making its way here. It's inflaming, you know, while you're ingesting that. So be careful. Take it easy. Stay inside if you can. I know it's summer. It is the worst thing to hear. Stay inside, especially when it's so dry and nice and comfortable out there. Temperatures right now, 52 degrees in Wautoma, 66 in Superior and Racine. So those lakes are holding on to some heat. You are warmer if you are by a Great Lake right now this morning. We're also seeing patchy, dense fog in places. So be careful out there driving. That visibility will clear in about an hour or two. But the air quality alert still in effect until noon. They keep renewing it at noon. I have a feeling it might be extended until tomorrow in certain places of the state. Maybe they'll let it expire in spots. It is starting to swing much further off to the east. The high pressure system that brought it here is now moving off to the east, and it's really hanging over New York right now. So we're really seeing the tail end of it. But all of Michigan, parts of Minnesota and Indiana, and of course, all of us here in Wisconsin are still in that alert until at least noon today. So as the high pressure continues to move, another low pressure system is building off in towards Wyoming and Colorado. It is going to send a warm front our way, which means more clouds headed our way, more mugginess and humidity, and also more thunderstorm action, especially as we push into the end of the week and into the weekend. So it's going to turn hot and humid. These are the final few days of, if you decided to open your window with this air quality alert, that you can do that. Of course, today we're going to hit highs in the upper 70s to low 80s. We're pretty much going to put that on repeat for tomorrow too. We do have a small chance of spotty sprinkles far north again late tonight. Otherwise, tomorrow we're looking at some light showers and storms possibly west in the state in the morning, and then more are going to start later on in the evening. But we'll tell you more about that tomorrow.
All right. I was deciding whether to finally open up the house a little bit, and I thought, well, I can do it for, like you said, a couple of hours, but then as soon as the temperature gets to, you know, a certain level where your air conditioner would kick in anyway, you know, is it even worth it? I don't know. We'll see. Alicia puts up on YouTube, I've had headaches for a week straight. Started having a hard time breathing. Rob adds, looking forward to winds from the south to get the smoke out of here. So, I mean, we're all anticipating there's still time. There's still time to save summer. The middle of summer, it's almost like, you know, it's been raining all the time. Not quite a washout, but like a smokeout. It just hasn't been the same. But there's still people go, oh, summer's almost over. Now it's August 5th, kids. We got a little time.
Have about a month.
To enjoy the sun. Yes.
Yeah, so definitely.
We can do this. Brittany, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next hour.
Sounds good.
Quick reminder, there's so much more coming up on Civic Media today. Certainly, we've talked about Matt and Air on Air with Jane and Greg, following this program from 9 to 11. And then after Tom Hartman is the Todd Alba Show from 2 to 4. And at 2:30, Todd's going to be talking to Kyle LaFond. He's the founder, president, and CEO of Natural Contract Manufacturing and American Provenance. He is a member of Main Street Alliance, and he is going to be talking about tariffs, just as we did with Sean Fedeplace from Main Street Alliance as well, that these tariffs are catching on with other Americans in the sense that they're saying, oh, wait, this isn't just hurting, you know, other countries. This isn't hurting foreign companies. This is hurting everybody, consumers, small businesses, small manufacturers that need to import some of their materials to make the things that they make. This is having a wide ranging impact. And Todd will be talking to his guest, Kyle LaFond, about that later this afternoon. And then Matt Rothschild is guest host on the Maggie Dawn Show from 4 until 6 today across the Civic Media Radio Network. Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom. Learn more over at couriernewsroom.com. Plenty of newsletters and video series and things like that, including a newsletter called Control, Alt-Right, Delete by Melissa Ryan. A new edition is out called the Media Capitulation Index. It's a tracker that rates media conglomerates on a scale from independent to vulnerable to compromising to capitulating to obeying to propaganda. The group Free Press has also released a companion report to the tracker called A More Perfect Media, with deeper analysis. And here's some of what they found. In evaluating 35 different media companies, Free Press found that media owners capitulated to the Trump White House in four main ways. One, through payments to Trump in the form of legal settlements, production contracts, campaign contributions, and other donations. Second, by rolling back their commitments to diversity, equity, and inclusion practices when it comes to hiring and community outreach. Third, through editorial manipulation and censorship, pressuring their newsrooms to soften criticism of the administration, firing staff, even pulling content that might anger the president. Have you noticed by chance the articles that look at Fox News Channel and how if you watch that channel, there basically isn't a Jeffrey Epstein case anymore? There used to be, but it's mysteriously disappeared. And then fourth, media companies are attempting to curry favor with the president during ceremonies like the inauguration, private dinners at Mar-a-Lago, meetings in the White House. As Melissa Ryan puts in her newsletter, as consumers, we have economic power. Trackers like this one help us use it. We can choose what media companies we support with our wallets, with our ears, with our eyes. And so for all of that, you're going to want to look at Melissa Ryan's newsletter, Control, Alt, Right, Delete, and you can get a link to it over at couriernewsroom.com to learn more. It's a 7:14 right now. The Milwaukee Brewers have just been on a tear. What is it, 4 in a row now, Parker, after beating Atlanta last night? Final score there was 3-1. The three coming from Isaac Collins, a three-run homer. Quinn Priester surrendered a first pitch of the game home run, but after that allowed just one other hit. And that's how you ended up with a 3-1 win over Atlanta. Trevor McGill pitched a perfect ninth inning to get his 25th save of the season. Freddie Peralta is pitching this evening. Pregame coverage begins at 5:40 on several Civic media stations. It's just fun to watch. That should be their new memo. Their new motto. It's just fun to watch.
Yeah, that's true. It is very fun to watch. I will say, it's kind of funny. It seems like the one thing that gets a lot of the starting pitchers is the home run ball, and that's about it. Like, it's literally a homer, maybe two in a game, and that's maybe one more hit.
I could be wrong. It almost feels like we must be way up there in the number of home runs given up on the first pitch of the game.
Yeah.
I feel like we've done 3-4 of those. Uh-huh. It wouldn't surprise me if it was 5, actually. But then, you know, things settled down after that.
Yeah.
And it's been a beautiful thing.
It is.
So much so.
Who knew sports are more fun when you're winning?
I did.
You did?
I knew
that. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I had a sense that was the case anyway. Of all the recent headlines here that we're still playing catch up on, for example, there's a new state Supreme Court justice. Did you know that? Justice Susan Crawford. And you'll go, wait, the election was back in April. Yeah, but she wasn't inaugurated until August 1st. That's when Supreme Court justices begin their new terms. And so it was only this past Friday that Justice Susan Crawford took the oath of office for a 10-year term, keeping the court under a 4-3 progressive majority with the retirement of Justice Ann Walsh Bradley. And so now the next few elections feature a conservative justice defending their seat. There are no liberal-leaning justices up for election until April of 2028. So throughout this period here, the next 2.5 years, 3 years basically, the court will be under progressive control, barring, you know, some kind of personnel change amongst the progressive justices that are already there. Crawford is a former Dane County Circuit Court judge. This all took place in what's called an investiture ceremony. That's what they call the oath of office when given to judges, held in the rotunda of the Wisconsin Capitol. Quoted here in an article from Spectrum News, Crawford said, quote, "I'm proud to take my seat on this court. I'm ready to meet this moment. And most of all, I'm ready to get to work for the people of our great state." You will recall that in April, she defeated Waukesha County Judge and former State Attorney General Brad Schimmel by 10 points. And if you noticed anything in your social media feed, if it's got any kind of a political flavor to it, there was a lot said Friday, Saturday about the way that Justice Susan Crawford beat the world's richest man, Elon Musk, and beat him soundly for the tens of millions of dollars that he spent in a race that topped the $100 million mark. The world's richest man could not buy a state Supreme Court seat here in Wisconsin. Again, the spending there topping more than $100 million. And Crawford went on to say, "I just promise to uphold two constitutions, the U.S. Constitution and the Wisconsin Constitution, even when the issues are politically charged, deeply divisive, or hard to untangle. That's always been the job." So congratulations again to the new Supreme Court Justice, Susan Crawford, who is now officially on the court after that swearing in back on Friday. We got plenty to cover yet this hour. A local update is coming up next for some of you. For others, we will be visiting with Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12, WJFW-TV in Rhinelander. Talk about his vacation. He's back after taking a little bit of time off. And then later in the hour, we will be talking to Jim Payne, the mayor of Superior. They are kicking off a new network so that folks in the city, small now, but eventually growing to the whole city, can have better access to high-speed broadband internet. private companies aren't necessarily willing to serve every corner of Wisconsin. And so in some cases, there are local governments that are stepping in and helping make networks more possible so that we can enjoy high-speed internet throughout the state, despite Republican restrictions that were put in place years ago. That's coming up. Live from the heart of America's up north from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this a place to spend part of your mornings. Powered by Up North News, I'm Pat Kreitlaw.
Full Falls Radio, WXCO.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. With small ships that bring travelers closer to the destination, there's more time to explore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years,
yeah,
to let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And good morning and welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlaw on 98.9 WXCO. I am Chad Holmes along with Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
We will have more with you coming up, but we're going to jump right in here this morning because once again we have an opportunity to talk, about something good going in our community. I mean, really something that people should know about. And just recently, I was, as we tend to do, surfing around social media, and I was on Facebook, and I saw under the Wausau School District an announcement for a fundraiser. And in fact, it's more than a fundraiser. It's about a new scholarship raising money for at Wausau East. It involves a tragedy, but then also something that's being done in a very positive way. A member of the Wausau School District team, Laura Morris, passed away late last year in 2024 after a brave battle with cancer. And in order to honor her legacy at Wausau East, one of her fellow coaches, faculty members, member of the staff at Wausau East, Ken Smith, decided to start raising money and to start a scholarship for a Wausau East High School student who have been or are being affected by cancer. And to talk about it here today, we're very happy, first of all, to be joined by Ken Smith. Yeah. Ken, thank you for coming in.
Good morning. Thank you.
Absolutely. I have that microphone just a little bit closer to you. That would be terrific. And also, Ken, when I reached out to you, you said that we'd love to have a member of Laura's family join us. And we're very happy to welcome Allison. Allison, your last name. You have a married last name?
Yeah, Elephant.
Thank you very much, Allison and Ken, for joining us. I guess we'll start off, before we talk about the scholarship and everything else, talk about Laura Morris, I'm going to start with you as the person that started this fundraiser, Ken. How did you know Laura, and what brought you to the point that you wanted to do something like this?
Yeah, she was a student of mine at Horace Mann. I was a teacher at Horace Mann Middle School. I was coaching some soccer at the high school. And just a great, great kid. Played lots of sports, and we had fun classes and things. And as I took over the girls' soccer program in 2006, she was a junior. And so she became basically one of my first captains as a new head coach of the program. And so we were pretty close working together. She was like a team mom, like her leadership abilities and to keep her teammates in line or to help build the morale and set the culture for us. She was just an amazing person. So she was a captain for 2 years for me. And so I've kind of watched her grow up. And then college came back and was teaching, and we got a chance to coach together for a year at Horace Mann. Then she became an elementary teacher, and my wife is an elementary teacher, so mm-hmm. they would see each other, you know, at different things and events. And as in she grew in her career, like we saw her more and more, and just has been a colleague. So I've known her for a long time, and just known her as always just a real special person in my heart and my memories as a coach. And then to see her then battle with the triple negative breast cancer, how brave she was doing it, sharing her journey and things, was just kind of blew me away, you know, to watch how brave she was through all that.
Obviously, you know, you saw her as a student, as a colleague. Allison, family, older or younger sister?
I am the oldest, but only by 15 months. There was only just over a year younger than me. So
what made your sister special growing up and then as an adult as well? The things that pop up in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I would say being so close in age, we also have a brother who's just 17 months younger than her. So we were right in a row and did everything together. I especially, you know, now during the summer, I have such fond memories of being outside, playing in the pool, camping, just so many things that we did together growing up. She was my sister, obviously, but also just my friend. And she had young kids, and I have a child who's close in age. And so we were kind of in every life step, we were just kind of embarking on together. And so we were quite close.
Let's discuss her illness, because I think that's part of the story here. When was she diagnosed, first of all?
She was diagnosed in April of 2022.
What was the response within your family?
Lots of fear and anxiety right away. I think anytime you hear cancer, that's just where your mind goes. But after a first couple weeks of being anxious and stressed, I think really led by Laura, it was like, let's go. You know, what are we going to do but go forward, and we're going to beat it, and we're going to tackle this together. And so she always felt good about having a plan. So she would meet with her doctor. She'd say, this is what we're doing next, and it's going to work. We're going to get through it.
And Ken, what about within your school community when that diagnosis came through? What was the response? And you work with her and see her in the work environment,
right,
about that process.
And, you know, I think when you go through that, you have your ups and downs where she was at work and being there. And then there were times where she wasn't. The chemo and things like that took its toll. And so she had to take her days to rest. And it was just one of those where you're just shocked and surprised. And like I said, her I kept track of her through her Facebook page and just tried to send her messages once in a while. And watching her go through it and how she shared her journey with everybody else so that other people and maybe on that journey could see her strength and learn from what she was going through was just something that was just it blew me away, because I don't think I would have ever had the strength to do something like that and to put it out there. But I, you know, I can only imagine how many people saw that and learned a great deal and helped them through their journeys as well.
Allison, you said earlier that after the diagnosis that Laura said, let's go, let's get to work. What was it within your sister that allowed her to get news that I think would take most people to their knees? And to say, let's go, let's get back to work and let's fight this. What within your sister allowed her to do that?
Yeah, you know, something I always envied about her was her dedication to things that were important to her. She was honestly the fittest, healthiest person who I knew at the time of her diagnosis. She was winning races. She was running. She was lifting weights. She was eating well. I mean, she was just a vision of health to me. And so I think that she was, you know, more than anything for her kids.
Still plenty more to come with Ken Smith and Allison Oliphant talking about the fundraiser for a scholarship at Wausau East in honor of Laura Morris. We'll be back at 7:52 for another segment and more of this discussion. Back to Pat Kreitlow coming up next here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on Air.
As Wisconsin has a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Wisconsin State Fair is happening right now, but that doesn't stop the Wisconsin State Fair Park Board of Directors from already making plans for next year's event. I'm Kylie Allen for the Midwest Farm Report. Today, the Wisconsin State Fair Park Board of Directors Chairman, John Yingling, shares the details of renovations we can expect to the Ag Village.
So we just got approved in this last biennial budget, $21 million in new capital improvements that we'll be making in the fair. $4 million starts with the Ag Village side. I think if you're an exhibitor, you know that the swine and sheep barn have seen better days, could be laid out more efficiently. Poultry has always been in a tent. Discovery Barnyard seen better days. So we are looking to redo that entire area. It starts with the planning money. That was $4 million.
Chairman John Yingling of the Wisconsin State Fair Park Board of Directors along with us. At next year's fair, you can expect more renovations to the grounds for a more accessible and fairgoer-friendly experience. I'll be back with more news after this. You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek for this year's Farm Technology Days, Generations of Progress. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There's also a rotary parlor, seminars, and, of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
The U.S. Senate confirmed Luke Lindbergh will serve as the USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs. The vote of 77 to 18 is one that is supported by several agricultural groups: the U.S. Meat Export Federation, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council support Lindbergh. Dan Hallstrom is the president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. He says it's important for the Office of U.S. Trade Representative to be at full strength and urged the Senate to move quickly on the nominee for Chief Agricultural Negotiator. Follow along with Pam Yonke, Stephanie Hoff, Ben Jarbo, and myself as we continue to tell the story of Wisconsin food, fuel, and fiber. You can find us on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report or online at MidwestFarmReport.com. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are going to have a little more of that wildfire smoke today. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high right around 80 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop to 61 tomorrow. Partly cloudy. Could be an isolated shower or thundershower with a high of 81. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 52.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Well, I'm off enjoying the sights and sounds of some of my favorite places in Wisconsin. Guest hosts are stepping in with sharp insights into Wisconsin politics and beyond. Don't miss these great conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Remember, you can stay up to date on what we're doing at Up North News by heading to upnorthnewswi.com. And while you're there, sign up for our daily newsletters. We've got a weekday issue. We've got our Sunday mornings with Pat Kreitlow politics newsletter that also includes our question of the week. And the question that we asked this past Sunday deals with what is now happening in Texas, where Republicans are, again, looking to rig their congressional maps further to put Democratic representation in the single digits in Texas, along with dozens of Republican members of Congress from Texas. Texas is a red state, but it ain't that imbalanced, but that's how they want to make the maps. Democratic legislators are saying, you know what, before you ram this through, we're going to deny you a quorum for a time. Leave the state and call national attention to this, because it is what it is. It's corruption is what it is, and call attention to it. Now, folks in some blue states are saying, hey, two can play at that game. Maybe in California, they'll redraw the congressional map and, you know, get five more Democratic seats to offset five more Republican seats in Texas. The question is, should they? Is it a case of, you know, two wrongs don't make a right? Or is it a case of you got to do this because otherwise it's bringing a rubber band to a gunfight? What do you think? A lot of responses coming in already to our question of the week in our newsletter. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. There's a lot that's going to be said between now and next August about the Democratic primary for governor and who would be the strongest candidate. And should that candidate be, you know, a fire-breathing liberal? Should it be somebody who is extremely moderate and hits a lot of bipartisan tones? Will a Democratic primary be a healthy part of that process, or will it lead to a party that is fractured by those who want to go more to the left and those who want to go more to the center? There's no shortage of discussion about it. Certainly over the weekend, some of that talk was being heard in Milwaukee, where former Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke held a town hall at the Washington Park Senior Center in Milwaukee. O'Rourke now has a voter organization group called Powered by People that is putting on these community conversations in spots all over the country. Speakers this past weekend included Devin Remicker, the new chair of the State Democratic Party, former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, and others also spoke at this. And again, the talk turns to whether Democrats have been too conciliatory. Have they been too willing to play by the rules? What is it that's going to go into making the next nominee for Wisconsin governor on the Democratic side as strong as possible? Well, to hear State Senator Kelda Royce talk about it in the Cap Times, there's so much conversation about it that she's wearing out her AirPods because of all the phone calls that she's been taking with friends and family and strategists and consultants and colleagues and donors. And she talked to the Cap Times newspaper in Madison all about it lately, including this line: I would say I'm very likely to run. I've had so many encouraging conversations with folks all around the state, and that's been really exciting and gratifying, Royce said. Now, that was not a full-fledged commitment, but it does take a lot to say, I would say I'm very likely to run, especially when you consider there's already Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez who's in the race, Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley says he's going to announce that he's in the race. And for Kelda Royes, this would be her second time running for governor. The last time she ran was among nearly a dozen Democratic candidates in 2018 when that primary produced Tony Evers as the nominee, who beat Scott Walker and then served another term as well. But at this point, again, we don't have 12 Democratic candidates in the race yet, but we might. And Kelda Royes says she's not going to rush into making a decision or an announcement. She told the Cap Times, quote, "I don't think anybody needs a 13-month primary. We're going to have a robust, crowded primary. We have a lot of good people interested in running, and I think that's great. But I wouldn't be surprised if the field isn't even settled until the end of the year." Let me have one observation on that, and that's waiting till the end of the year. And again, it's all about the money. Part of the reason that candidates are urged to get in earlier and earlier is the need for donations, the need for these multi-million dollar races that are run. And if you wait too long, the donors are going to be happy with somebody else. It shouldn't necessarily be this way because, let me explain the timetable for you real quick here. Nominating papers aren't even due until June 1st of next year. It's on June 1st of next year that we'll find out how many people turned in nominating petitions with enough signatures from voters that they qualify to be on the August primary ballot, June 1st. So theoretically, somebody could announce they're a candidate in, you know, mid-May and for 2 weeks collect a ton of signatures and get on the ballot. But it doesn't work that way anymore because, again, people need those donations, and so they try to get in as early as possible. But Senator Kelda Royes is saying, look, it doesn't have to be next week. And Joe Sopecki told us as much last week when I told him, hey, I thought we'd have a lot more candidates for governor in this first week after Governor Evers announcing he wasn't going to run for a third term. And Joe Sopecki said, no, once you've got the first one or two candidates in, there really isn't any value in being, you know, say the third candidate in the race. You just announce when you think the time is right, once you've got all your ducks in a row and you're ready to start asking donors and voters for their support. So back to what Kelda Royes had to say to the Cap Times. She said you have this kind of dichotomy between how horrible things are at the federal level and the way the states are under attack by the Republican regime. We have an incredibly dangerous and authoritarian government in charge in Washington, D.C., but we are also at a point of incredible hope in Wisconsin, where for the first time in a generation, we could have a Democratic trifecta. We just can't afford to waste that. And I, of course, take interest in that, being a member of the last Democratic trifecta, which happened in 2009. After the 2008 elections, when Barack Obama was elected president, you had Jim Doyle as governor, you had a Democratic state Senate that I was in, a Democratic state assembly. But at the same time, you also had the Great Recession kicking off, thanks to a whole lot of factors from outside the state of Wisconsin. So it's been a long time since Wisconsin's had a Democratic trifecta where the economy also hadn't been, you know, previously tanked by right-wing policies. But as a result of that potential for a Democratic trifecta, you've got people like Kelda Royes and everybody else who might enter the race wanting to be extremely careful and plot out your moves carefully and think about your words carefully. But in that same Cap Times newspaper, there's also an editorial that notes that the 2026 gubernatorial nominee, in their opinion, must embody progressive values. With Republicans veering toward pro-Donald Trump cultishness, the Cap Times writes, the Democratic nominee in 2026 can unite voters on behalf of economic, social, and racial justice and a climate agenda that creates jobs while saving the planet. The Cap Times writes that in past elections, we've endorsed many of the prospective 2026 contenders. As the race heats up, we'll be looking in particular for a Democrat who is ready to run a winning progressive campaign and, once elected, to serve boldly. They talked to State Representative Francesca Hong, a Madison progressive, whose endorsement has been enthusiastically pursued by many Democratic gubernatorial prospects. And she describes such an agenda well when she says, quote, "With Governor Evers opting not to run for a third term, Wisconsin is headed for a crowded Democratic primary. There's a real opportunity here, not just to hold on to the governorship, but to reimagine what kind of a state that we want to be." She said, "We can learn a lot from candidates like New York City Democratic mayoral nominee Zoran Mamdani, who ran on a bold vision built on grassroots power and grounded in care." She said, "We need a candidate who understands the power of building a diverse and radically welcoming coalition." How do you like that phrase? A radically welcoming coalition. "We need someone ready to lead with a vision that puts people first, starting with what working class people are actually facing every day. That means real affordability in long-term care, child care, and health care. That means protecting public education, investing in affordable housing, and finally, advancing progressive taxation rooted in our state's history. And it means being willing to name who's been hoarding power and who's been left out for far too long." Again, that's all from Fran Hong, Democratic Assembly member from the Madison area. And the thing is, the things that she's talking about, affordability in long-term care, affordable child care, affordable health care, protecting public education, and having progressive taxation, you know, where all the special favors in the tax code don't go to the wealthiest taxpayers. How the heck did that become a partisan agenda? There was once a time when Republicans fought for those things too. They simply differed with Democrats on the degree of which to go there, the methods in which to go there. But Republicans used to consistently fight for things like affordable health care and education and things like that. So will a primary be good or bad? Well, coincidentally, one more article to share from the Cap Times. It's a column by John Nichols, the associate editor, who writes a column saying primaries are good for Dems. And again, that's not a universal thought that's out there. But John Nichols writes, "There's a notion among many political consultants and pollsters that crowded primaries only cause frustrations for the eventual nominee and the party. They tell us if partisans could just coalesce early around a single candidate for a top post, it will be easier to focus the message of party nominees, build campaign war chests, and take on November rivals." But with Evers deciding not to seek a third term, Democrats are all but certain to see a multi-candidate primary that will feature many of the most prominent figures on the party's crowded bench competing with one another. But the fact that there will be a number of Democratic primary candidates is not a problem. It's a measure of the party's renewal in recent years, and it's a strength going into the 2026 race. And he writes, it's also very much in keeping with the party history over the past five decades. And he goes on to list things like how Patrick Lucey came out of a primary in 1970, how in 1982, Tony Earle came out of a very tough three-way primary with Marty Schreiber and former Lucy aide Jim Wood. In 1992, there was Russ Feingold coming out of a three-way primary and then defeating Republican Senator Robert Casten. Jim Doyle himself, back in 2002, became the nominee only after a primary that included Dane County Executive Kathleen Falk and Milwaukee Congressman and future Mayor Tom Barrett. So John Nichols writes, "Democrats who win competitive primaries do not always go on to beat Republicans in November, but primaries have rarely, if ever, been an impediment to party prospects." So I would conclude by simply saying, we're going to have a large field. Embrace it. The same goes for Republicans. You're going to have a large field. Embrace it. Talk about the issues. Talk about not just who espouses your principles, but also who can win. Weigh it all. Come up with the best nominee possible and show Wisconsin how you would best take care of them. A local update is next. With others, we'll talk to Superior Mayor Jim Payne about expanding broadband service up in Northwest Wisconsin. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Matt and Air on Air.
I have a baby bird stuck in a birdhouse.
Its head is stuck.
Terry on the text line says, if you can detach the birdhouse, bring it to Ace Hardware, they can help get the bird out?
Really? Richard from Waukesha, you get the last word on this.
I like the idea of the Ace Hardware.
Yeah.
But some advice is don't let them talk you into a remodeled bathroom.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yes.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wxco.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
WXCO Morning Report, continuing our conversation with Ken Smith and Allison Oliphant concerning a fundraiser to raise funds for a new WASAE scholarship in honor of Laura Morris. WASA East grad and worked in the WASA school district as well, who passed away last November after a brave battle with breast cancer. We started by talking again with Allison about the bravery and the battle shown by Laura.
She would do anything, and she did. Really, the whole time, she did everything in her power to fight so that she would be able to be here longer for them and then to keep doing the other things that she loved. And I would say, I mean, there's always a roller coaster. There's good news and bad news and good news and bad news, and it just keeps fluctuating, especially with such an aggressive disease. And so there were down moments. Of course, there were down moments, but she really was herself, her bright, funny, positive self until the end, really. And I'm proud of her. I'm glad to be able to remember how she faced those really challenging times.
How many kids does her and her husband have?
Yeah, two.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. How old are they?
They are newly 5 and newly 8.
Ken, you have other kids that affected by this, the students of hers, and even within the WASA East and the WASA school community.
Yeah.
What did the courage that Laura showed mean to the greater community within the WASA East community and the WASA school district?
I think, like I just said, she was just an example. she taught elementary PE and then was a tech mentor, like a went around and taught the teachers after that. She wasn't in the classroom for a while, but watching like the donations come in and see the names of people and to see the connections that she had with students that are at East now, and that she was their student when they were in kindergarten, and to see that connection, and still people have that memory of her leadership and how strong she was through all this, just sent just an amazing message, I think, through the community, because there was so many people that she's close to that watched her journey.
Allison, I, along with you and your family, I imagine that seeing those names that come in that make donations, but even before this, I imagine that during the entire process, the communication that the family would get concerning your sister and the concern they have, the pride in how she has come to the forefront during the entire process, the connections, I imagine, got even stronger within the people in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been overwhelming, really, in the best way. It's really starting with her celebration of life, which we held at John Marshall Elementary School, because that was also a significant portion of Laura's life. The people who walked through that door to hug all of us was just, well, for me, it was a blast from the past, because I have lived outside of Wausau for quite some time now, but just the wide spectrum of people from all over the community coming together, whether they knew Laura very well or not, knowing that they were thinking of our family, that they were inspired by Laura. It just, yeah, like I said, it's overwhelming. It's certainly reassuring and comforting, but also like, wow, like the magnitude of the impact that just one person can have takes my breath away a little bit.
Again, we're talking to Ken Smith and Allison Oliphant discussing, and now we're going to get to the meat and potatoes of what you've been trying to accomplish here in recent weeks, talking about a new GoFundMe to create a scholarship in Laura Morris's name. Ken, it's been, I imagine that there's been a process for you as well, that once everybody lost Laura, can you maybe go through your thought process to get to this point where you decided, hey, this is something I want to do?
Yeah, sure. Like I said, the celebration of life, again, was such an amazing time to see her, all her friends and colleagues and former teammates and people that I had contact with and coached and stuff over the years. And so it just got me thinking about how we can recognize her in a way, and went through a couple ideas. And being a teacher at Wausau East, and my sons went through there, and going through that scholarship night and seeing some of the memorial scholarships we've seen in the past, that kind of just kind of stuck in my mind to do something like that. And so I just kind of made some different connections. I talked to her family and made sure that was okay moving forward with that. And then just contacted some different people in the community, contact with the district about how this whole process works. And then finally this summer, I got it finally organized and had time to kind of really work on it.
And Allison, when Ken gave you this idea, what was the family response to it?
Yeah, I mean, we're always looking for ways to keep Laura alive for us within our family, of course. And so I think this idea to keep her alive for so many other people means a lot to us. It really does. And it would mean a lot to Laura. Again, overwhelming to see, you know, the donations start to come in and just how many people are moved by the story and feel that this is something worth doing. It's a good feeling.
Ken, the folks that are going to be the recipients of the scholarship, Wausau East students who are affected by cancer.
Yeah, that was my plan. You know, we have a soccer scholarship already. So I'm like, well, let's make it something that's maybe bigger than that and can open it up for more students to have an opportunity. So that was just my thought, was everybody, we've talked before, there's so many people affected by cancer, whether it's personally or in a family member or something. So just being able to help a student that has gone through that journey in one way or another, I think is in Laura's memory. I think she would really like that. And I think it's just a great opportunity to help a student and a family that could use some help.
Have you been, I don't know if the word is surprised, because obviously I think that from what we have heard, that Laura Morris was a very beloved figure within the Wausau East community. But at the same time, you don't know what has been the response so far.
Yeah, like I said, I think I put it originally for a $5,000 fundraiser. I've never done a GoFundMe or anything like this before. And so wasn't sure. Like, okay, if we start it now, that gives us time by the spring to make that money. And we can give a $500 scholarship for 10 years in Laura's name. Be fantastic. Well, we made that $5,000 in under 48 hours. Mm-hmm. And so it was just incredible, like I said, to get to see the names of the people that have donated. And like when the district came back and said, hey, can we share it? And we upped the goal to 10. Like, let's see where we can go. And then over the course of the next 5 or 6 days, we hit that. It's been just over a week and a half, and we're over 10,000. And so we upped it again to 12. And then we heard from you and, okay, let's just see. I've never done anything like this before. So let's go as far as we can and help as many kids for as long as we can.
We will have more of our discussion with Ken Smith and Allison Oliphant in our next local segment at 8:22. Plus, we'll get you information on how to make a donation yourself to this scholarship program. Top of the hour coming up. More to come with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Texas Governor Greg Abbott's ordered the civil arrest of Democratic lawmakers who fled the state to block passage of a new voting map favoring the GOP. CBS's Ed O'Keefe spoke with Republican State Rep Carl Tepper.
What would be your message to your Democratic colleagues who left town?
We still love you. We want to see you back in Texas.
But the Democrats say not yet.
Massive wildfires are growing in the West, including one tearing through Los Padres National Forest north of L.A. Sacramento Metro Fire Captain Mark Nunez.
This is a very rapidly fast-moving fire through steep terrain with lots of dry vegetation. It takes a lot of personnel to take on something of this size.
Florida health officials say 21 people have gotten sick from E. coli by drinking raw, unpasteurized milk linked to the same farm. 6 of them were under the age of 10. 7 have been hospitalized. You can only sell raw milk in Florida if it's labeled as pet food. CBS News.